Welcome to the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. I'm your host, James Renford Powell, author of The Laws of Material Wealth, which is a book, a workbook with 5 exercises per chapter, 4 DVDs, and 54 weeks of support material, which those who were involved with the course when we started this program know that these were sent out by email each week, and we'll be doing so again. And also, there are 54 one-hour shows here on the RBR Network. If you have anybody who would like to listen to the show, they can go to Radio by Renford via blogtalkradio.com. Go to blogtalkradio.com/Renford, and that takes you to the home page of Radio by Renford, and there's about 5 or 6 years of archive shows you're welcome to go in and look at. If you're interested in the Laws of Material Wealth program, you go in and find week 1, week 2, week 3, all the way through week 54. If you have anybody who would like to listen to the show but are not online or don't have a computer or on the road or something, they can call in on 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. If you or anyone who is listening to the show would like to ask a question of my guest, and my guest this evening is Bridget Sanders, if you'd like to ask a question of Bridget or myself, just be sure and press the 1 button on your touch-tone dial, and that will flag us to bring you in for your question. 347-838-9142. My guest, Bridget Sanders, is the event coordinator for a major event coming up, a worldwide day called World UFO Day. And this is, I don't know exactly when that came about. A lot of you may not have even known that it existed. But certain countries like France and Mexico have had a great number of revelations with regard. The government has turned over a lot of information to the general public about this phenomena, which is a worldwide phenomena. And this event is being held here, and we'll be talking about that on the show. It is commemorating an event where a UFO was witnessed by police officers and a large number of people over the Pine Hill Golf Club area, and so therefore this event will be held at the Pine Hill Golf Club and Country Club. And we'll be talking with Bridget Sanders, the event coordinator, tonight on the show. These Renford Revelation blogs can be accessed by going to www.iam-cor.org. That's iam-cor.org. And you just hit the / and blog, iam-cor.org/blog. Now, this is the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics, and you can go in there and look at the 3 degree levels of study, the bookstore, and the history of the Institute. But if you want to just get the blog, it's iam-cor.org/blog, and you can pick up on all the Renford revelations that we've had and do it each week in this show. After they are read on this show, then they go up on the site, and you're welcome to comment on them or positively or negatively, that's up to you, but they are there for you, and they cover a wide range of subjects. If you were taking the Laws of Material Wealth course here on and online with the support material and so forth, you know we talked a great deal about the 13 universal principles of success. Now, these are actually 13 universal laws, principles that you found taught by all the great masters, including Jesus. Each one of the parables, in fact, he told us in Matthew 13:35 that he came to reveal the secrets that have lain hidden from the foundation of the earth. And in the same verse it says, and he spake to them in parables, and without parables spake he not. So in other words, those secrets were revealed in the parables, even though we mostly treat them like Sunday school pablum for the kids. The fact is, he was revealing the mysteries, and this is what he told his apostles when they asked. So we talked about these 13 principles throughout this course as the 13 universal principles of success, and we made application here on this show to the process of creation, the creating of a business or an enterprise, and that was our focus for the show. But the material is much more widely based than that. In fact, in the support material, you'll find what James Allen said about them, what Ralph Waldo Emerson, Napoleon Hill, and a large number of people besides religious leader masters like Jesus. You find them giving an explanation, a definition of each one of those 13 principles. And this Renford revelation is specifically the question, why study the 13 universal principles of success? If you have read any of the articles on the 13 universal principles of success, you will surely know the benefits of knowing that they exist and that without them, you cannot exist. In other words, you, even we, I, none of us could exist without these principles. They are as ubiquitous as the air we breathe and are there for us. You may even have begun the process of identifying each of these principles by contemplative meditation. I am suggesting to you that there are tremendous benefits of consciously identifying and verifying the universal laws in our life experiences. When we make practical application of this knowledge, we are internalizing the 13 success principles about which I've been writing. When we identify and verify these principles, we enter into a state of knowing, and changes there will be. It will change your sense of who you are, what your capabilities are, and what you are here for. Know the being that you are for what it is, part of the divine light, an expression of universal being. You will become aware of the absolute unity of all and the soul-destroying doctrines of duality taught in most religions. Know that this being that you are and all that exists is part of the absolute unity referred to as the Tao, or God. There is but one power in the universe. It will change your perspective so substantially as to make you feel you have removed yourself from your place in the world before your study began. With this knowing, one has proper perspective. Knowing what and who one is and what one is part of gives one true perspective of the whole. You will become aware of the pure potentiality you possess and its source within you. You will learn how to access this power in a constructive manner. When one knows these life-altering things due to proper perspective, one can know one's pure potential. It is the same creative power of the whole, and you are part of it. It will transform your faith-based acceptance of heaven and earth to a knowing verified by your conscious life experiences, and eventually your intuitive knowing. To activate this power and fulfill one's purpose as part of the creative process, it is a matter of allowing this knowing the force and power that comes with believing it. It brings power to the intellect from the heart. You'll become aware of the unlimited nature of the abundance from which you can draw in your process of creation. The result of this process allows the law of attraction to deliver the abundance of all we need to fulfill our purpose for being here. The creative force, God, cannot be limited, and our access to abundance cannot be blocked by anything but our own thinking or lack of faith in what we know. You will learn how to attract the kind of experiences you require in your process of evolution and unfoldment. When we know the absolute unity of the whole, we need only come to know our individual responsibility as part of the whole. Every thought and every action is related not only to our creation and ourselves, but also to every other being. Every action will have its reaction. From the one has come the many. It will give you a sense of connection of all to all and your part in this relationship of action to reaction. Knowing our relation to the whole and our responsibility to the whole, we come to recognize cause and effect. There is no thought or action that does not have some ramification. You will learn how to come into harmony with the universal laws that underwrite our existence. We see not chaos and tragedy, but order and perfect justice. The creative force has not, does not, and will not create imperfection. When we see physical, mental, or spiritual imperfection in others or ourselves, know that we have created it from our fear-based thinking, and this thinking cannot survive in light and love. You will experience the creative process for which you have come into this cycle of life. It is our darkest hour, in our greatest challenges and difficulties, that we grow and evolve into who we are. Instead of bemoaning our lot, appreciate them for what they are, the learning experiences we have attracted in our process of evolution and unfoldment. It will enhance your understanding and desire to give of yourself, your time, and your wealth. It will become clear why you get out of something what you put in it. Know that what we create through this process is directly related to what we put into it, that one must give to receive. Regardless of what most religions teach, you will learn that your primary purpose is the process of your own evolution and unfoldment. This does not indicate selfishness, as one cannot realize this purpose without giving of oneself. Know that this is our purpose for being here, to participate in the creative process. Regardless of what form it takes, our primary purpose, our righteous self-interest, is served by facilitating this process. It will bring into proper use the benefits and power of love and the destruction of fear-based thinking. Know that your giving, whether in the act of sharing money, time, or knowledge, is true giving, and that each such gift is a package of love. The creative force is love, and all that is given to us is an expression of love. Love is all that we were given and that we continue to receive. Equally so, it is all that we can give. This study provides you with the basic training for life. To the extent that you gain understanding of the laws is the extent you can benefit and be of service to others. It's truly a process of self-discovery. This is the most important education you could possibly hope to find. It is the lesson of the great masters stripped of cancerous dogma that has been allowed to run amok. Remember, this is a system of verification you control. And that's my Renford revelation for this evening. Let's get to my guest, Bridget Sanders. Bridget is, I think, an extraordinary lady. She is a dynamo in putting together a project. This is a far-reaching project, even though this is an international holiday, the World UFO Day. There are celebrations and events and so forth going on like this in various parts of the world. But we had an event here in 1977 that was reported in a commercial appeal, and it was seen by many, many people. Starting over Rodney Baber Park is the first time I heard anybody talk about it, coming over Berclair and actually then hovering in the vicinity of Pine Hill Golf Course. And this is where one of the police officers that was, in fact, the police officer who was in charge at the time will be at this event to tell the story. And there will be a number of guests. And Bridget's done a tremendous job of pulling this together. There'll be so many different things, and I want to let her tell you about it. Welcome to the show, Bridget.
Thank you, Mr. Powell, and thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Well, this is the first event of its kind, I believe, in the Memphis area, is it not?
Yes, it is. Now, Memphis has Memphis has definitely had events in the past in relation to UFOs or ancient aliens or crop circles, things of that nature. So they've mostly been centered around conferences where organizations would bring in experts to actually speak about different types of events that has occurred around the world. But this event in itself is a little different than those events. At this event, you're going to get the best of probably, I would say, three worlds. So you're going to have, of course, the conference element of it, where we will have speakers that will be coming to the event speaking, like you just mentioned about the police, or actually the captain, my apologies. So we do have Captain Lamar Todd, who was the captain on site of the Memphis Tactical Elite Enforcement Unit that saw the UFO craft that hovered over Pine Hill Golf Course, along with his partner, Officer Jeter. And then we have Travis Walton, which anyone that's really followed UFOlogy, they should be very familiar with Travis Walton. He was abducted in, I think it was 1975 in Snowflake, Arizona. It's been, well, I don't want to throw my math off here, but I'm sure people can calculate from 1975. So it's been quite a while, and Travis Walton has definitely stuck with this version of what transpired on that day back in 1975, as well as the four individuals.
That movie, I noticed that movie has been on two or three times recently. It's called Fire in the Sky, and I've seen it pop up here and there on different channels, movies. And, of course, Travis says that they Hollywoodized it to the point that he could already recognize it. But he has created a documentary where he will be setting the record straight, right?
Absolutely. And that documentary will definitely be shown at our event at the festival. It's called Travis, and it's basically the life story of Travis Walton. So that, like you mentioned, Hollywood loves to put their spin on any type of science fiction type of event, and that definitely considers to be science fiction. And Hollywood likes to add their spin to, I guess, commercialize things. So, but yes, Fire in the Sky is the movie. It was a book and was turned into a movie about Travis Walton. Of course, that part of it is the convention side. And then we have something for kids. We're going to have rides, water rides. We're going to have, like, the bounce houses, the games for kids and adults to play. Also, we're going to have a parade to kick everything off, so that gets the neighborhood involved, and also people that may be interested in getting into the parade. So the parade actually starts the festival off. And, of course, we're going to have some live music there, a couple contests. We're going to have some magicians there that's kind of wowing the crowd with their illusions. So it's quite a bit that we have going on for anyone that would like to attend the festival. So it's not just for the UFOlogy, the people that follow the UFOlogy community, but people that follow it, they may have friends that they can invite along, or parents of children that they want to bring along, they can do that as well.
It's really a family-oriented event. Like you say, the parades and the different events for children there. It begins at like 9:30 in the morning, July the 2nd, and runs till 11 o'clock. So you could come in any time during that time frame and enjoy the benefits of the golf course and the country and the community center that
Absolutely.
They produce.
Absolutely. And what I would like to add is that there are certain things that people might be interested in. So if they can check on the website, they can definitely see the schedule. So we do have a schedule listed. Now, that schedule is subject to change, so we would like for people to check back regularly on the website to make sure that when they're going to be coming out to the festival, that they're going to be coming at the correct time for the event that they're looking to be a part of.
The for those who are real that like to watch ancient astronaut theory and have been following this and have some interest in it, some of the speakers, there's one I think that worked with Bud Hopkins who was involved all the way back in Project Blue Book. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yes, we have Mr. Peter Robbins, who will be at the festival. As a matter of fact, he actually wrote a book called Left at Eastgate, and that book actually talks about a very popular case. Back in 1980, there was a sighting, I think it was the Brentwood Forest, or Rendlesham Forest, my apologies, Rendlesham Forest, where some airmen were in the forest, and there was a craft that landed in the forest. And these airmen, they were actually injured from that actual craft that was in the forest. So it wasn't until years later, when I say years later, I'm talking maybe 3 years ago, that it really became mainstream about the injuries that these military gentlemen sustained, where they were suing the actual government. And as of February of this year, the government had to admit without admitting that there was an unknown craft in the forest, because they awarded it airmen compensation and also admitted that he had sustained injuries from an unknown craft, so therefore they paid for his medical through the VA as well.
Now, this event, I've seen television coverage of it, and it's been covered by reporters in England, and it's also been on the History Channel with interviews of those officers. And basically, this particular soldier officer touched the craft and received radiation. A dosage of radiation, as I understand it. Have I got that right?
Yes. There was some type of radiation poisoning that caused a medical condition that was life-threatening to him, that he had to have a life-saving procedure. So there was some serious injury sustained that was raised. Caused by that radiation, yes.
And he goes back quite a way, because probably one of the most famous of the investigators going all the way back into Project Blue Book before the formation of MUFON.
Absolutely.
Was Bud Hopkins, and I believe that's his name, and he worked with him.
Absolutely, and that's the exciting part about having these great speakers here, people that have been involved with the government, and they are actually working towards to make sure that the government is giving disclosure. Of course, the government is not on television saying, attention Americans, we caught a flying saucer, or we found a flying saucer in 1947 in Roswell. No, they're not saying that. They're doing subtle things, such as even on Mars, where we have these rovers and all these things on Mars, and they are so-called giving us hints that there's life that exists outside of Earth. So what they're saying is, well, we found microorganisms, or we found traces of water, or we found water that exists here that tells us that there is signs of life. So what they're doing is they are kind of just giving us bits and pieces of disclosure, but not saying it all at one time. And that's the importance of the people like the Peter Robbins and the Bud Hopkins. So what they're doing is they're making sure that we are getting this disclosure that we all seek, but it may not come the way that we think that it should come.
Is there any reason why you reckon that we've had a great deal of disclosure in France, we've had a great deal of disclosure in Mexico, but we still have a certain amount of stonewalling here?
Well, I would say because, honestly, I think the U.S. is kind of like the grandfather of the UFO era, where we've had the biggest crash, I would say, which was Roswell. Now, let me speak about Roswell really quickly here. Roswell is the reason for World UFO Day. The crash was on July 2nd, 1947, hence the day that we celebrate World UFO Day, which is July 2nd, celebrated around the world every year. So because of Roswell on that July 2nd, the United States is more like the grandfather of the UFO era. So for us to be able to come out and say, okay, yes, we had this craft all along, then that would be like a civil unrest inside of the United States. So the United States cannot openly just come out and say, okay, yeah, we were lying people and we're sorry. The other countries, they have not really falsified information to that magnitude the way that the U.S. has falsified information. So therefore, the U.S. have more to lose, I would say, I guess, or more credibility to lose than the other countries.
So you believe, as some are saying, that the disclosure has already taken place to some degree, but it's just not, they're not telling you where to look for it.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, on our press release, there is a gentleman by the name of Nick Pope. Nick Pope actually wrote an article that said disclosure has already happened, and I agree with him in regards to disclosure has already happened. We just have to know the places to look. Like I was just mentioning, you're going to get bits and pieces. You're going to hear NASA say, okay, there's signs of water here. You're going to hear the case where we're just talking about the Rendlesham Forest. Okay, you got injured by a unknown craft. So we're going to pay you for your medical injuries. So those types of things like that, that is subtle disclosure. And when something actually happens where it's just in the face of Americans or the world and we just cannot discount it anymore, the government can always say, well, we did say we can't deny that there is other life in the universe. So, and on top of that, they're getting the Vatican involved. They're getting the religion, you know, people in the religious community involved, and to say they're okay with the idea of life exists outside of this earth.
Well, it's of course, in my opinion and in my book, The Father Confusers, I believe that the disclosure has been with us almost from the beginning, and that in many, in the earliest writing known to man, the Sumerian cuneiform text, that we are told that there was sexual intercourse, interaction, marriage, and so forth between aliens and humans. Even in the Bible text, we have the sons of the gods finding the daughters of men fair and taking them to them wives. All throughout all of the ancient cultures, there's this there are these stories about the interaction between aliens and evolving human beings. In fact, I think it's pretty clear that we're already hybridized. We're a hybridization, a mixture, and that's been going on for a long, long time. I think the person that says that the aliens have to land on the White House lawn before I'll believe it is basically like the ostrich sticking his head in the sand. I mean, there's so much evidence of it, and I've seen video myself, especially of the Mexican, some of the Mexican events that are pretty phenomenal. Where do you think we'll come back to the festival again in a little bit? But where do you think all of this is going now, from what you can tell?
Well, basically, to kind of tie in what you were actually speaking about earlier in regards to the principles, success principles. Actually, if you think about it, one of those principles is faith. Now, you think about what you just mentioned in regards to the alien has to land on the White House lawn before I believe it. Well, where's the faith in that? When you have all these other things. Now, just like in the Bible, they talk about having faith. You have to have faith in order to see things. And I'm trying to remember the actual quote, but I heard someone say before, instead of I have to see it to believe it, you have to believe it in order to see it. So,
they used the doubting Thomas, who said he didn't, when he was told that Jesus had appeared to them and had the prints of the nails in his hands, he said, I'll only believe it when I see it. And there's a lot of people like that, and that's okay. That's perfectly all right. You can accept or reject whatever you like. But the evidence just from your Googling or going online, the number of events, the reports. Now, you are a field investigator, a former
yes.
police officer.
Yes.
And whenever, and in the in Tennessee, the Tennessee State MUFON director, that's mutual, what that stands for? MUFON
mutual,
stands for?
Yes, it stands for the Mutual UFO Network.
Mutual UFO Network, and the state director is Eddie Middleton, and Eddie is a college-level instructor and on philosophy and ethics, and generally he has some kind of event with local or people from Tennessee who come to report events that they've not been able, that they're describing, but have not been able to identify in terms of anything terrestrial or anything from here, and generally has an event once a year where speakers come in from all over the country to report on events nationwide. But what about Tennessee? What kind of reporting are we getting here? What kind of quantity are we getting?
Well, as far as Tennessee, there's definitely 3 to 4 reports made, if not more, maybe up to 5 or 6 per month of different sightings that people have had. And because we're so close to the Mississippi border, again, there's, you have sightings in Olive Branch, Mississippi, South Haven, and of course that crosses over into the Tennessee border. So you're going to have a mixture between anywhere from, let's say, anywhere from 5 to 10 within the state of Tennessee and Mississippi combined. So, and these sightings could be trace evidence, which we do have a case currently that, like you said, the Tennessee State Director, Eddie Middleton, he's investigating. He is a part of, MUFON has a special team called the STAR team, and anytime that there's trace evidence, and trace evidence is basically if a craft lands or if there's a contact with the entity or if the entity left any type of markings or if they mutilated an animal or anything, that's considered trace evidence. So we have a case in Tennessee right now that there is trace evidence left. So Tennessee does have quite a bit of activity as well as Mississippi with alien or unidentified phenomena.
Yeah, when they are looking at trace evidence, for instance, if you've got something that's landed in a field and maybe pressed down or left at some imprint, and they will come in and check for traces of radiation or any other things that might have been left behind?
Yes. Soil samples will be taken, as well as like a Geiger counter. And what the Geiger counter does is detect levels of radiation in the soil. Also, there's magnetic pulls, different things that are tested, you know, within that soil. So cast, like let's say that there's an imprint in the, like there's something landed, a cast will be made of that area. So just like someone in a police investigation, if there was a murder and we wanted to find out car mates' tire print, a cast of that tire print will be made and sent to a laboratory to try and identify the type of tire that made that imprint. And that's the same thing if someone says, okay, it landed right here. We will try, we'll make a cast of that and try and find out, is it, and try and identify using a scientific method to see if this is a, can we find out what type of craft actually made or object made this impression.
In the case of, is it Captain Todd?
Yes.
Yeah. In the case of Captain Todd, I mean, I think, as I understand it, they followed this thing as it came across, moving from north to south in Memphis and hovered over the Pine Hill Golf Club area. Have you read any of the reports on that? Can you describe what that event was like?
Yes, I have read the report on that. Well, basically, what was transpired is Captain Todd and his partner, they observed a low-flying object, triangular shape, that was so, they described it like as if it looked like a flying Christmas tree. And so they were very intrigued by this large low-flying Christmas tree, basically, that they began to call their dispatcher to find out, is there anything in the skies or in the area? So the dispatcher contacted the military base, the Air Force base, in, I think it was Millington, and they didn't have anything in the skies, as well as they contacted the airport, and they had no, nothing on radar. They continued to follow this craft, and I think it was Officer Jeter that pulled out his rifle with a scope on it after they followed it near Pine Hill Golf Course, pulled out the rifle to get a better look at it, and when he pointed his weapon at the craft, it basically it shot off like lickety split, so like really fast, in a motion that they've never seen before. And when they was describing what they saw there were three other officers on duty that saw that same craft earlier in the day, and they reported in that craft as well.
The one of the men that I talked to about this incident said it came over Berclair, over his house, and he couldn't believe the size of the thing, that it could be going so slow. That it was just moving slowly across, and aerodynamically how it stayed in the air, he couldn't imagine.
You know, what's really interesting, since I started with MUFON and putting together this festival, there has been so many links to this craft that I was unaware of prior to putting the festival together. So if there's anyone in the audience, your listening audience, that saw this craft in May of 1977, please reach out to us. We're actually going to be having a segment at the festival where if people have had incidents or they've had sightings or connections, they can actually tell their story at the festival itself. But like I was just mentioning, as I've been investigating more, I've heard so many more stories about this craft. Even as far as down in, I think it's Flora, Mississippi. So this craft, it wasn't just, like I was mentioning before, it's happening in, you know, Tennessee. It's definitely going to be happening in Mississippi because of how close the two states are.
Now, you're going to have at the community center is where the speakers will be?
Yes.
And
the
there'll be a period where anyone who's been a witness to anything like this will be able to get up and give us a brief description of what they saw and what happened.
Yes. So what they would actually need to do is go to our website, and because we are limited on time, if they can go to the website, there is a submission form on the website that says, tell your story. So when they go to the website, they can put their information in, submit their name and their story, and then what we will do is it's going to be like a lottery system. We will pull names to decide who will be able to, and like I said, we're...
I guess plus the ones who show up, right? And plus you've got
time?
Some that will show up and some that don't.
Absolutely, yes.
Mm. Let us. How would people find out, get more information on World UFO Day and this event?
The website that they can go to is, of course, www.worlduFODayMemphis.org. And on there is contact. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's worlduFODayMemphis.com.
.org.
.org. Okay,
yes.
.org. worlduFODayMemphis.org. Okay.
Yes.
And is there a Facebook connection to all this?
It is. Basically, on Facebook, if they go to Facebook and type in World UFO Day Festival, it's the only World UFO Day Festival on Facebook. So they could just go to Facebook / World UFO Day Festival.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how long there's been a World UFO Day? I mean, I'm always amazed when they come along and say this is certain day, you know, that... designation. Who gave?
Exactly.
It's a worldwide thing. It's not just an American national holiday. So where all did this come from?
World UFO Day has been around since 2001, so it does have some shelf life to it. One of the major celebrations of World UFO Day does happen in Roswell, New Mexico, and that's for obvious reasons. But they do have the largest, and theirs spanned over 3 days. In Memphis, we're doing a one-day event for it. There are other celebrations around the world, but I'm not 100% keen in on all of those different celebrations.
Hmm. Well, the one in, of course, there's a UFO museum in Roswell, and
yes.
And in fact, some of the people that were involved were still alive when I visited there about 10, 15 years ago. I had occasion to be there with my son. And we met
okay.
the man who funeral director who made the small, the very small caskets that were taken out to the base. We had a chance to talk to him, but there's been enough interviews and police of not only civilians but military officers about the Roswell incident. It'd be worth your while to go to the internet and just check out. If you type in Roswell, you'll get a lot of information on that particular event. That's one of the biggies. So this is really kind of a family day thing that, you know, where it's taken seriously in terms of the speakers, but there's a lot there just for a preamble to 4th of July, isn't there?
Yes. Definitely, it's a preamble to the 4th of July. It's a family fun celebration that people will get an opportunity to take in information that they've heard about over the years but not really investigated themselves. So there will be literature there. MUFON, again, the Mutual UFO Network, will have a booth there with literature where people can find out more about MUFON and what MUFON does. And again, MUFON is the organization that actually investigates claims, people, sightings that people have or contacts that people have had. And MUFON takes a scientific approach to investigating these anomalies. So let's say that a person saw something in the sky and they're going to call MUFON, and MUFON, depending on if it's Tennessee, Mississippi, wherever it is in the world, they will assign a field investigator like myself and say, okay, you need to investigate this case, contact this witness and find out, you know, do your investigation. And MUFON training manual to make sure that every field investigator follows standard procedure each time that they speak with a witness. So it's not just talking to someone and saying, okay, well, that's it. But there is an actual investigation that goes on. We need to find out, was that a meteor? Was it an asteroid? Was it an airplane? Was it a helicopter? What was it in that sky? Was it a planet? So we do certain things. We look at maps of the night sky. We look at, was there a asteroid going over at this time? We look at the meteor website. We look at weather phenomena. So it's a lot that goes into an investigation, and we just don't take word and say, oh, yeah, it was a UFO. So we do try to make sure that we help people understand what it is that they're seeing.
And when you have an incident like Captain Todd and them viewed there hovering above the, I mean, there's no mistaking that for an asteroid, swamp gas, or anything else. You've got a tri-cornered vehicle that is hovering almost like a helicopter, but it's very large, tri-cornered with strange lights that's hovering there. And if And of course, a lot of people, when you have something like, you see something like that, they're afraid to tell anybody about it. They're afraid people are going to think they're crazy, or, you know, that they're just looking for attention or something. And the field investigators like Bridget will go and take it seriously and investigate that. So if you have that kind of incident or any kind of incident of that nature occur, then you can rely on the field investors to take it seriously and try to find some answers for you. I guess that's the best way to put it, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Is there any other thing about the event that that you'd like to inform my listeners about?
Absolutely. There is so much going on. It's very hard to, or it's easy to miss some things. One of the things that I didn't really elaborate on, it part of the family-orientated event, is that we're going to have three magicians at the festival. These magicians, they're called the Close-Up Kings, and they actually have a television show on the Sci-Fi Channel called Close-Up Kings. They're from New York, and what they do is they do close-up magic. They're not going to be on a stage like you may see a David Blaine or David Copperfield, or they're not going to be on a stage. They're not going to be far away where the illusions can be kind of masked. This is up close and personal magic for illusions.
They kind of walk around and interact with the children.
Absolutely. And it is so amazing, the things that they do. So they'll actually be walking around from 1 p.m. until 6 p.m. doing illusions. So if people want to make sure that they can catch these guys doing their illusions, to come between those times.
There are some contests there, I believe, as well?
Yes, absolutely. What we have is we have a costume contest, so cosplay. We're looking for people dressed in alien costumes. So if you are like a sci-fi buff, you do cosplay, all of those type of things, definitely come out. It will be, everything will be judged, crowd participation. If you want to bring your pet, we're going to have a alien pet costume contest. And one of the other things that we're having is, it's a game show, kind of like Family Feud, which everybody knows about Family Feud, but it's called Species Ting.
Species Feud.
So what we're going to do is we're going to have alien masks for people that's going to be elected for the alien team. Then we're going to have the humanoids. So then we're going to, basically, they're going to be answering questions about just different science fiction types of things.
Now, this Family Day event, there's no entrance fee charge. Anybody can come to the event and enjoy the ambiance and the different things that are going on. There's concessionaires, there's drinks, food, and then there are tables there. People will be selling different things, gifts and keepsakes and souvenirs and that sort of thing. There are certain events that if you want to enter it, you have a charge for entering it, but there's no charge for coming to Pine Hill for this event, right?
Correct. Basically, to see the speakers be a total, it's just one flat rate. They pay $10 and they will be able to see the four speakers that we have. And I didn't get a chance to mention that you'll actually be one of the speakers at the event. So, Mr. Powell,
I'll be,
here.
Yeah, I'll be talking about my book, The Father Confusers, which is deals with different incidences in the ancient text, both the Bible, the Mahabharata, and the Sumerian text, where I think that this was a physical event that the witnesses were describing in the only way that they possibly could. And I use the example of Elijah and Elisha, and Elijah trying to make Elisha go back, and he won't do it three times. And finally, Elisha, as the witness says, that a fiery chariot came out of the sky and picked up Elijah and flew away. Well, you have to think that Elisha's never seen anything but a chariot. He's never seen any other kind of vehicle, and he's never seen electricity. And this thing was a chariot, and it was all lit up, and it comes down and picks up Elijah and flies away. So with 21st century eyes on that same witness's words, we'll be getting some pictures of what may have been described by these in these ancient texts, and it's pretty widespread. We'll use a lot of illustrations, biblical ones, because there'll be more people familiar with them, I think.
Absolutely. And with the speakers, $10, you can see Travis Walton, Mr. Powell, Peter Robbins, as well as Captain Lamar Todd. And, of course, those funds are going towards to bring these special guests in. And also with the children's area, the rides and games, the children will have to pay a $10 fee, and they can get a wristband, and then they will be able to enjoy all the rides all day with the one $10 fee.
Mm. Well, it sounds like a real event, and I'm looking forward to it. And if any of you who've been watching the Ancient Astronaut Theory on the History Channel, or have had a personal experience, then come and tell us about it. Come and tell us about that experience, and enjoy talking with some people who will be there, who know a lot about the subject, and have been involved in investigations for some time. Is there any other thing that you would like to add to for our listeners about the event? Again, it's World UFO Day. .org, right?
It's World UFO Day Memphis.org. So it's World UFO Day, and just add the word Memphis behind it, so
yeah.
It kind of makes sure that we put it in the Memphis market, because there are other World UFO Day websites, but it's World UFO Day Memphis.org.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you very much for being with us on the show tonight, Bridget. And hopefully we can talk about this some more soon. And thank you, folks, for being with us tonight on the Laws of Material Wealth. Be sure and go to YouTube.com, type in Renford Broadcast Network, and take a look at our site there on YouTube. There are 6-7 sections on that site, and we hope to be putting up more with regard to World UFO Day Memphis.org. Thanks again, Bridget. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Have a good evening.
Thank you.